Blog Talk Radio.
Well, and if you miss me from singing, and you can't find me nowhere, come on up to glory, I'll be singing up there.
I'll be singing up there.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grace Nurture. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us on this fantastic Friday. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by none other than Brother Bryant Tansel. Brother Tansel has been providing us with words of encouragement for quite some time now and has always done an unexceptional job. So I think that we owe it to him to stop whatever it is we are doing, find ourselves a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Tansel, you are on the air.
Thank you so much, Sister Danielle. Good morning to you and your family. Thank you for the beautiful selection over yonder. Thank you, everyone, for listening to our call this morning. And we're going to finish talking about the life of Christ here today with him being the Savior of the world. And we're going to talk a little bit about the trials that he went through before the crucifixion and the resurrection. So we'll get right to it. But thank you so much for joining us here on this Friday morning to start your day. So Jesus was the Savior of the world, and he knew all along that Judas was going to betray him in John 6, verses 70 through 71. And the other apostles were seemingly oblivious to the plan, so they had no idea. However, or they certainly would have stopped him. They probably would have tried to stop him if they would have known that. But for a measly 30 pieces of silver, Judas told Jesus his enemies where and when they could find him at late night. The Bible tells us in Matthew 26 and 15 and 16. So throughout his ministry, Jesus would often go to the Garden of Gethsemane. You've probably heard of the song "In Gethsemane Alone." And he would spend some quiet time there with the apostles or by himself. And based on Judas's tip, the religious leaders sent a group of soldiers to Gethsemane to arrest him under the cloak of darkness. Judas went with them and identified Jesus to them by kissing him on the cheek. So in response to his arrest, only Jesus remained calm and collected while the 11 remaining apostles fled in fear. So they ran. So you had two trials that came up. The first was the Jewish phase of Jesus' trials, where Jesus was taken to the home of Annas, an evil Sadducee who was recognized by the Jewish people as a high priest of God. And it was just after midnight, making these proceedings illegal because they generally carried these things out during the morning or the daytime. And then you had Caiaphas. Jesus was then sent to the home of Caiaphas, the Sadducee, recognized by the Roman government as the high priest that year, who had happened to be Annas' son-in-law. And it was in the courtyard of Caiaphas' home that Peter denied Jesus three times. At the very instant when he denied him the third time, Peter looked up and saw Jesus was being led out by the Roman soldiers. Their eyes had met for the last time. So overwhelmed with shame and remorse, Peter fled again. So he took off. Now, the trial moves to the Sanhedrin Council. At his first two Jewish trials, Jesus was condemned for blasphemy, claiming to be the Son of God. So in order to be officially charged, however, he needed to appear before the Sanhedrin Council, the highest court of the Jews. This group of 70 men, which consisted mainly of Pharisees and Sadducees, now that you know who those folks are, they could legally only meet during the daylight hours. As soon as it was morning, the council members were summoned to Caiaphas' home because they'd already made up their minds about Jesus. You know, the trial was a mockery of justice. They were quickly handed down a unanimous verdict of guilt. And the Bible says in Luke 22, 70 through 71 says, "So they all said, 'Are you the Son of God then?' And he said to them, 'You say that I am.' Then they said, 'What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips.'" So the religious leaders didn't want to kill Jesus, though. They wanted him to die in the most painful and horrible way known to death, and that was death by crucifixion from the Roman Empire, which was the Roman Empire's specialty. And the only way to make this happen was to convince Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea, to officially condemn Jesus as well. So the next phase of the trial moves over to Mr. Pontius Pilate and the Sanhedrin Council. This is the Roman phase of Jesus' trials, second phase. So when the Sanhedrin Council brought Jesus to him, Pilate recognized this was kind of a local squabble, an event, and it shouldn't involve him. So he really didn't want to get involved there at the beginning. So the Roman soldiers, the Roman soldiers just alternated whipping Jesus in his back, and he got torn and bloodied, and hoping that would satisfy him. But Pilate really wanted to release Jesus, and he stated, "I find no guilt in this man." So he discovered Jesus had grown up in Nazareth. He decided to get rid of this problem by sending it over to Herod Antipas, who was the ruler of Galilee, who just happened to be vacationing there in Jerusalem at the moment. So in this second Roman trial, Jesus found himself standing before Herod Antipas, the very man who had ordered the death of his cousin, John. So Jesus spoke not a single word to this man. Antipas wanted Jesus to perform a miracle as if his powers were a magic for the purpose of entertainment. But Jesus, he didn't have no satisfaction with that. He just said, "No, not going to do that." So Herod sent Jesus back to Pilate. You can see he's being bounced around quite a bit here. So Pilate was a shrewd politician. He knew Jesus was innocent. His wife even wanted Jesus to be released in Matthew 27 and 19. And so the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin Council, they knew exactly how to manipulate Pilate into getting him to, convict Jesus. So having dropped the Jewish charge of blasphemy, they appealed to Jesus' claim of being the king of the Jews. So the Bible says Pilate gave in to their evil wishes in John 19:16. And after that, he condemned Jesus to death. And Judas was overwhelmed with remorse, the Bible says. So he went to the religious leaders with the 30 pieces of silver they paid him. But it was too late. He wanted to give it back. and his guilty threw the money down on the temple floor and ran out in the field and hanged himself. And Matthew 27 verses 1-5. So we get through to the crucifixion where the four Roman soldiers nailed Jesus' hands on opposite side of a 5-foot-long crossbar that would be attached horizontally to the pole. So his feet were nailed together at the base of the pole while hanging on the cross. That made breathing very difficult. And his body was already weakened by the blood loss from, they were stabbing him and scourging him. So the pain he experienced was really excruciating. So we come through this part, and the Roman soldiers are kind of picking at him and saying things to him, making fun of him. And at one point, Jesus looked down on them and prayed. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," in Luke 23 and 34. So as Jesus died, he yelled in one of his last statements, "It is finished." He bowed his head and died in John 19 and 30. So when we move to the resurrection here for the sake of time, the trials occurred throughout Friday morning, and the crucifixion was actually later that afternoon. And in the evening, Jesus' body was taken down and hurriedly buried while Jesus' mother and some of her friends looked on. So as you have heard there, they arrived the third day after Jesus was buried. And on that early Sunday morning, his body was not in the tomb. So Jesus had been placed in a private cemetery, and there was an official Roman seal that had been placed on the stone at the entrance of the tomb. But when the women arrived, the Bible says, the seal had been broken and the stone had been rolled away. So all the women left except for Mary Magdalene, who was crying. So there was a man walking there in the garden or in the cemetery, and the man approached her, and this was Jesus. He spoke to Mary by name, and she recognized him. And she was overwhelmed with excitement that she'd seen Jesus. So she told the apostles about it. They refused to believe her, of course, and they were still a little discouraged there about their master dying. So Paul, Peter, who had last seen Jesus' face when he was denying him for the third time, was particularly distressed about this. But eventually they discovered that Mary Magdalene was telling the truth when they saw Jesus with their own eyes. As you know, Jesus rose on the third day, ascended to heaven, and he had some words there for the apostles. And he spoke some final words to them and began to rise up into the heavens and ascend towards the sky. So you can see there just what happened to Jesus during the time, and for that reason he suffered so much for us. And today we have to just reflect on that and just know that what we're doing should always have Jesus at the center of it. And he just suffered so much for us. So it's our turn today to make sure we give praise to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, as we bow our heads, you know, these lovely people on the call that stand in need of prayer. We pray for our healthcare workers. We pray for everyone who has a health affliction, that you may comfort them during this time, and also the sick that are suffering from COVID as well, and all the caregivers attending to these lovely people. Take care of our business owners at this time and everyone who travels the highways and byways, and we thank you for the lovely families and the churches represented on this call. May everyone have a great weekend. Be safe out there, and always give thanks to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.